We've all heard the saying, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Now, I'm not real sure why anyone would want to skin a cat or what beneficial purpose that would serve. But still, the adage remains, along with the truth that's in it, which is that there's more than one way to reach an objective. Marriage is a learning experience, isn't it? Now, before I get myself in trouble, in addition to the many real lessons that I've learned along the way, I've joked before that it's amazing how many things I've learned that I had been doing wrong before we got married. I didn't even know that there was a wrong way to fold a towel before I got married. Now, I joke about it, but the truth is there's no wrong way to fold a towel. But Jessica took on the role of organizing our house. And since storage is always somewhat limited, then based on the space that she had to do what needed to be done, the way she decided to fold towels was the way that worked best. So I needed to adapt. Because while there may be more than one way to fold a towel, not all ways are equally effective. And the same is true with all objectives. There may be multiple ways to reach a goal or to accomplish a task, but not all ways are equal. Consider dieting. There are as many diet plans and fads as there are people in the world, it seems. You've got keto, paleo, low carb, no carb, vegan, vegetarian, carnivore, intermittent fasting, and so on and on and on it goes. And while all of these may produce results in some people, they are not all equally effective for all people. Many, taken to extremes, are simply unsustainable. And some can be downright dangerous for some people. See, there are many ways, but not all ways are equal. And the same holds true when it comes to methods and means for growing a church. There are many ways to accomplish growth. Go to any Christian bookstore and you can find an entire section of books and manuals devoted to varying philosophies on church growth. Purpose-driven, emergent church, seeker-sensitive, replication, felt needs, and cultural engagement are all among the buzzwords that have characterized different philosophies and systems in recent years. See, there are many methods. There's more than one way to skin a cat, but not all methods are equal. As with diet plans, some are simply unsustainable for reasons that we won't get into today. And some others are just downright dangerous because of questionable teaching and practices. But in the end, we need to remember whose church it is. See, when it came to our towels, I had to remember that Jessica was in charge of organizing our home. We agreed on that. I was not in charge. So I needed to give in and do things her way. In the church, we are not in charge. Jesus Christ is. He is the head of the body, the church. And so when it comes to the administration of his body, we must submit and do things his way. And when it comes to growing his church, he has a plan and a method that works perfectly. And like any body of Christ who takes the Great Commission and our stewardship of the gospel seriously, we desire to see growth, right? We want to see the gospel advance. We want to see people saved and brought into right relationship with God. We desire to see lives, families, and communities transformed by the power of God through the saving power of Jesus Christ. We want to grow. But as we continue in the book of Acts, seeking to find proven methods for our modern church, we also want to find the Lord's direction for our growth. See, the growth that the early church experienced in Acts led to a flourishing of blessing and the outpouring of God's mega grace, as we've seen in recent weeks. So their methods were not dangerous. And the growth was explosive and exponential, and it has continued for a couple thousand years now. So it has definitely proved to be sustainable. So we don't want growth that is unsustainable. We certainly don't want to follow methods that can lead to danger. While we want to be growing, we need to be growing God's way. So if you want to turn with me, we'll read from the 5th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning in verse 12 and continuing through verse 16. And there, I believe, we'll find God's desired method, as well as the kind of results God desires for us as we pursue a goal of growing God's way. So as you're able, would you stand out of reverence for the reading of the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God. This is Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, reading through verse 16. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that by your Spirit, Lord, you have given it to us, you have preserved it for us. And now, Lord, today we pray that you would speak to us through it. Take the scales off of our eyes and our hearts, Lord, and allow us to see your truth in a fresh new way that may transform us and lead us and guide us as we seek to grow your way. Because it's your church, Lord Jesus, it's your gospel. We want to serve you, we want to lift you up, so help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, may be seated. So let's look first at the methodology employed by the early church. And verse 12 tells us, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, we are not apostles, and we're never going to be. See, the apostles were those who followed the Lord Jesus throughout his earthly ministry and were chosen by him for the special ministry of apostleship. It was a special office both appointed to and given to the church for a time. But that time has passed. So how do the deeds of the apostles apply to us? Well, we need to remember that while the apostles held a specially appointed office, they were first and foremost members of the Lord's church. In fact, in the beginning, they were the church. See, these were the ones who first professed faith in the Lord, who first received the ordinances, and who first received the Great Commission. They were the church before any growth ever came. And so their deeds as the church give us a model as to how we should operate. Because they grew, but they grew God's way. So how did they operate? Well, the Bible tells us that many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. Now, most will focus on the signs and the wonders, but I want to draw our attention to a different word. The word wrought is not familiar to many of us today. but it means worked. The apostles, the early church, was working. See, they labored for the Lord. They busied themselves with the ministry of the gospel. As Jesus had modeled for them, they were about their Father's business. Jesus said, we must work while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. So if we want to grow God's way, then the church of the Lord Jesus must be intentional about laboring for the Lord, about doing the work of the ministry. But let's notice where they were working. See, they were in Solomon's porch. Now, if I were fancy enough, I'd have a map or a graphic to show you right now. But if you were to look at a picture, maybe in some of your Bibles, of the temple, you'd see that the porch or the portico, it was a public area within the Temple Mount. It was a high traffic area. It bordered the court of the Gentiles, which was the part of the temple structure that anyone could enter. So see, that porch would have been like almost like a community center or a public square. See, earlier in Acts, we see that the church continued meeting from house to house for fellowship and teaching. But they didn't stay there. They continued steadfastly in the temple. They went into the public square and into their community, both to teach and to work. Now, too many churches and too many church members today are content to meet only on Sunday mornings and consider these times of worship their labor for the Lord. Too many congregations are neglecting their duty to take the ministry of the gospel into the public square. And perhaps it's out of fear, but sadly, I suspect it's more often out of either laziness or apathy. See, for too long, too many of God's people have bought into the lie that faith in God is a private matter and has no place in the public square. But let's put that in perspective, because right now, the individual and private rights of citizens are being challenged and debated by way of proposed vaccine mandates and the requirement for proof of vaccination. Now, I'm not opening a debate on the merits I'm not opening up as to whether or not the vaccine is good or bad. What I'm talking about is the proposal for laws requiring a mandate. See, for several decades now, the HIPAA Act of 1996 has enshrined the right to privacy for citizens regarding their personal health information. And yet, a proposed law requiring proof of immunization passports, as it were, that will throw that law of privacy completely out the window. Such laws would make some of our personal health decisions a matter of public knowledge and debate. But for some, that seems to be okay for the sake of public health. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a cure to a worldwide pandemic. It's a pandemic called sin. Folks, we who know the Lord know that we've been given a vaccine against sin. See, the preaching of the gospel, like the vaccine, may not, and indeed will not, save everyone. But the entire world is dying. Everyone on the planet who doesn't know the Lord is racing toward death and judgment before God. And if we're truly saved, then we know that to be true because the Holy Spirit convinced us of the truth of what we were saved from. So if we truly believe this to be true, then if we are okay with taking private matters of personal health into the public arena for the sake of public health as it relates to a virus, then we should be okay. No, we should be insistent on taking private matters of faith into the public square in order to try to truly save lives, to spare the souls of those lost and dying and headed for hell. Some may object on the basis that there are laws that seek to limit or prohibit the public declaration and ministry of the gospel, and we should obey the laws, right? Well, that's true, but the authorities also sought to limit the same during the time the book of Acts was written. We saw it just a chapter before. So as the disciples said then, we should say now, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. See, folks, the time for excuses is past. The daylight is waning, and the dark is coming when no man will be able to work. So if we, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, desire to grow God's way, then we must work. We must be intentional to labor for the Lord in the community. Verse 12 tells us that many signs and wonders were done. And so our tendency is to say, well, we can't work miracles, so that doesn't apply to us. But keep reading and listen to the Holy Spirit speaking. See, it says that many signs and wonders were done by the hands of the apostles. And the word by can also be read as through. It was through their hands. See, the apostles didn't work any miracles. God did. God worked through the apostles. He worked through the church. And in order for God to work through the church, then they had to be following His lead. So what we see is that the church, in order to grow God's way, was intentional about laboring for the Lord by being obedient to do whatever He led them to do, wherever and however He led them to do it. See, if we want to grow God's way, then we must work. If we want to see God work through us, then we must listen and follow as the Spirit leads us. We may not see what we call signs and wonders, but maybe we're not called to that type of work. The apostolic ministry, as we said before, was a specially designated office and ministry. God worked mightily through the apostles as they faithfully executed the ministry that they were called to do. So what are we being called to do? See, just because it's not what we would call signs and wonders doesn't mean that God is not working through our hands and feet. See, our passage doesn't specify what kinds of signs and miracles they were doing. All of the apostles were involved. The Bible says they were all in Solomon's portico, and they were all in one accord. In one accord. We've heard that a lot. You remember what it means? It's a combination of two Greek words that mean to rush along and in unison. See, the apostles were working together. They were all active and moving. They were rushing along toward a common goal, and that common goal is the gospel. There were a variety of apostles, and so there were a variety of signs and wonders. We don't know what they were. Some may have been various kinds of healings. Some may have been demons cast out, and some may have been other things. But each apostle engaged in the work as he was led by the Holy Spirit in unison for the united aim of advancing the gospel and exalting Jesus. See, likewise today, the church is made up of a variety of persons with various personalities, proclivities, and giftings. Each of us who is saved and called into the fellowship of a church of the Lord Jesus has a work to do within the body. And not everyone's service looks the same. Paul says in Romans 12, verses 4 through 6, "Now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. See, some may have giftings and callings to community evangelism, while others may have giftings and callings to minister to children. Some may be called to teach, while others are called to acts of service. Some may be called to be fervent prayer warriors. We have evidence in that in our church's prayer chain, in the number of prayers we've seen answered, and the ways that we've seen God move when the prayer chain prays. Still others may even be called to a season of rest, in which you simply spend time with the Lord and grow in His grace. See, there are different callings. There are different leadings. But we are all called to labor in some way within those different leadings for the same end goal, the advancement of the gospel. But unless the whole church is working together with each member functioning as it is directed, then we cannot be in one accord. And we cannot grow God's way. Now watch this, in verse 13 we see, "And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them." Now many may read this and think that it sounds exclusive, as though, well, no one dared to join the church in the midst of all that, but that's not what it's saying. All of verse 13 is a parenthetical statement still tied to the ministry of the apostles. See, the apostles were not the only church members present in the portico. Others were there. But they understood their calling. See, they weren't necessarily led, directed, or empowered to engage in the ministry of signs and wonders. They didn't dare join them. See, they didn't assume a role or a calling that was not theirs. Instead, they stood back and gave support to the work that God was doing. They honored the work of the apostles and gave glory to God for what the work He was doing through them. See, just as then, we all have a role to play, but we're not in charge. The Lord is. We may think to ourselves, yeah, those others, they didn't join in because they didn't have power to do miracles. Well, neither did the apostles. They were just men. But they were being used by God. His power was flowing through them. If the Lord had not led them, there would have been no miracles. See, there are more ways than one to get things done. But we must submit to the one way designed by the one in charge. See, just because we can do something does not necessarily mean that we should. But at the same time, just because we think we can't do something doesn't mean the Lord won't use us. See, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And we must be willing and ready to discern where the Lord desires to use us, and also be willing to step back when we're not led to do that which He has reserved for someone else. See, it may seem different to some of you that I don't do much recruiting. I never have. Even when I was a music minister, I welcomed people to the music ministry, but I never actively recruited people to come join. Because I want them to be led. In fact, I need them to be led. Because only when someone responds in obedience to a call of the Lord will their contribution to the ministry be anointed and filled with the power from on high. We have some needs still in our church. Our children's ministry seems to be growing, and we need to re-begin and redevelop an offering for children and youth on Wednesday nights and maybe even Sunday nights. We need to develop more adult teachers in anticipation of the addition of new classes. We need more singers in the choir and more Spirit-filled worshipers for the praise team. We need compassionate people filled with love to help visit and evangelize our community. We need people with a vision for missions to help mobilize us as we seek to reach out here in our Jerusalem and in our Judea, in our Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. So we need all of those things. But I don't want to recruit, because I believe the Holy Spirit will draw someone to those ministries in His time. I believe the Lord will raise up someone for such a time as this. And if I or anyone else jumps the gun by recruiting, we may inadvertently hinder the Lord. See, He's in charge, not me. I can communicate the needs, but the Lord will lead in calling forth members to serve in those ministry areas. I believe the same thing about church membership. It is a joy and a thrill to have visitors come and worship with us. We have some worshiping with us that have been attending for a very long time, but have never officially joined and entered into covenant with this body. Now, if someone feels led by the Lord to join this body, I think I speak for the church in saying we would love to welcome you anytime. But this is the Lord's church. He may use us to welcome you in, but the invitation is His alone to give. If you're not led by the Lord to request membership, then please don't. But if you are so led, please don't wait for an invitation from me. If the Lord has saved you and calls you, then we will baptize you if necessary and welcome you into fellowship. But in all things, in all ways, in all of our service, in all of the ways that we labor, we must do all in obedience to and at the direction of the Lord, because it's His church and He's in charge. His way is the only way that matters. But when we do things the Lord's way, when we follow the method modeled for us, when, like the apostles and the early church, we purpose ourselves to work for the Lord however He directs us, then we'll know, because we'll begin growing God's way. And what does that look like? Verse 14 tells us, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." How would we like to see multitudes of men, women, and children being added to the Lord here in Hatfield and all across Polk County? Y'all are a quiet group today. And if you can't amen that, there's something wrong with your heart. Would we like to see that?
Yes.
But here, notice the wording. Believers were added to the Lord, not to the church. We need to understand that our Lord's primary concern is for the advancement of His kingdom, not one local church. We don't labor toward the goal of seeing our worship and Sunday school attendance rise. Though we celebrate when it does, that is not our end game or our end goal. We labor in order to see souls saved and brought into the kingdom of God. See, if I witness to someone or minister to someone and they in turn find the Lord and join another church, you know what my proper response is? Praise the Lord. You see, it's not about me. It's not about our church. It's about the Lord and His kingdom. Not everyone we touch will be led here, and that's okay. Too many churches these days have an ownership mentality and have become territorial. But thank God, because of Jesus, heaven will belong to all of us. I'm thankful for a kingdom mindset among at least some of the churches in our area. One area pastor contacted me a couple months ago about a woman he had counseled and led to the Lord, but she was going to be moving to the Hatfield area soon. So he referred her here. Now, I've reached out and talked to her a couple times, and she hasn't come yet. That's not my point. My point is that this is another pastor in our area who understands that it's not about his church. It's about the kingdom of Christ. May we have the same mindset as we minister in the community, that it's not about adding to our numbers. It's about growing the kingdom. Like Paul said, sometimes we plant, but then others water. But always, always, it is God who gives the increase. So as we grow God's way, we'll see people added to the Lord's kingdom. And we may never even see some of the lives that we touch or know the impact that we've had. And speaking of impact, let's not forget the impact that we can have as individuals, as the Lord works through each of us personally. Look at verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. So, you know, this is just Peter being talked about now. Peter's not the church. No one individual is the church, regardless of the position of leadership they may be entrusted with. Peter was simply one of the many members, yet so great was the manifestation of power among the church that some believed that just the shadow of Peter passing by could bring healing. Now we know that a shadow doesn't heal. Even when the woman with the hemorrhagic disease fought her way to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, it was not the garment that healed her. Jesus said as much. He said, your faith has made you whole. See, she had faith that God could and would work through something as small as the hem of a garment. And in our passage, these people believed that God could and would work through a mere shadow. The shadow didn't heal, God did. But God used a shadow as an instrument to allow souls in need to demonstrate faith in Him. And consider what happened. People brought those in need of healing into the street. So again, we see that the church gathered for instruction, but then went out into the community and the world around them for action. It's likely that Peter recognized what some of the people were doing. Likely, some may have even called out to Peter, pass by here, sir. But regardless, we see that Peter was passing by. He wasn't standing still. He was busy. He was focused on his work. He didn't necessarily ignore those desiring his shadow, but they were not his focus. He stayed focused on the task, the work that the Lord had called him to do. And the people knew that too. They could see that Peter was on a mission. But they could also see that the favor of the Lord rested upon him and the power of the Holy Spirit shone all around him. And like the woman who just wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, these folks knew that they didn't need Peter's full attention. The power of God was working through him powerfully enough that if they could just get near him, they could be healed. The Bible says that they positioned themselves on the street so that at the least, the shadow of Peter might overshadow some of them. Friends, Peter likely never saw all of those whom his shadow fell upon. He probably never realized in this life the extent of the work the Lord did through him. He probably never knew all the ways God used him, but that was not his concern. He simply needed to be faithful to the task he was given. And the same is true for us today. If the Lord has saved you, then he has also called you to a work, a labor for the kingdom. And if we will all surrender ourselves to that calling and allow the Lord to work through us, we will likely never know the extent of our influence. We'll impact lives without ever knowing it. We may never, this side of heaven, know the extent to which God uses us. Isn't that a blessed thought? but it's also an incredible burden. See, it's a blessing in that what an unspeakable privilege it is to be used by God, that He would use our hands, our feet, our mouths, unworthy as we are, He would use us to accomplish things that we could never accomplish in our own power. Isn't that amazing? But there's a burden too, because here's the thing, we all cast a shadow. And we must ask ourselves, what kind of shadow are we casting? Are we being obedient to the Lord and allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to shine around us, casting a silhouette of hope and salvation, like the relief given when you step into the shade of a tree out in the desert heat? Or are we blocking the light of the gospel? Casting a veil of darkness so that those overshadowed by us can't see Jesus in us. What kind of shadow are we casting? That's a heavy question. Folks, when we commit ourselves to grow God's way, when we surrender ourselves to work for the Lord, however and wherever and whenever He leads us, when the body of Christ functions as the Lord designs, power will manifest among us, both corporately and individually, in such a way that the world will notice. They may rush in the door, or they may linger in the streets, hoping for just a touch, a foretaste, a silhouette of the grace, mercy, and power of God to fall upon them as we're passing by. We may not even know when they have come, but they will come. See, they'll come from miles even. In verse 16, we see that a multitude came from the cities round about Jerusalem. They heard what the Lord was doing, so they came from miles to see. They brought their sick and their oppressed, and they brought those who were in need of healing. And the Bible says that they were all healed. Every one. See, folks, when we commit to growing God's way, when we allow the Lord to use us and simply focus on the work God gives us to do, we will build up the body of Christ. And Jesus said, "When I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." See, we don't need to implement a special church growth strategy that we find in some book at Books a Million. We just need to follow the Lord. We need to labor for Jesus and lift Him up, and He will draw all men to Himself. We may plant. Sometimes we may water. But always, always, it is God who gives the increase. We all say we want our church to grow. But are we ready to grow God's way? Are we ready to each and every one of us prayerfully find our place, our function, our calling within the body and then get to work? See, what kind of shadow will you cast when you leave this place today? Let's all pray that we'll have the vision and the strength to surrender to the Lord, so that His power will shine upon us and around us and cast a silhouette of hope and salvation. So now this message today has been particularly directed at those of us who were saved, redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But if you're here or listening today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you can know Him today. See, maybe you desire to know or experience the power of God at work in your life, the way that we've seen it at work in our scripture today. But you cannot be an instrument of God's power until you belong to Him. And you can't belong to God on your own. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." You must come to Jesus first. But you can seek Him today. Today is the day of salvation, Scripture tells us. A great sign and wonder can be done in your life today if you'll come to Him in repentance and trust in Him alone. As we prepare to sing a closing song, if you would like to know more about Jesus or the good news, I invite you to come talk to me during our final song or after we dismiss, or call me at any time. I'd love to tell you more about the gift of salvation. But maybe you already belong to the Lord. Maybe you have for years. But today you feel His Holy Spirit leading you to surrender to some kind of call. I invite you to come as well. Maybe it's a call to a type of ministry. Or maybe it's a call to unite with this church in membership. Or maybe you just feel that for far too long, you've been blocking the light of Christ and casting a veil of darkness rather than a silhouette of hope. Maybe you don't want to hinder the work He has for you anymore. And you want to repent and surrender. Would you come? Let's stand together as we pray, and then we'll sing together while our altar is open. Father, I thank You today for this word. This reminder, Lord, that growth is not in our hands, Lord. If we want to grow, we need to grow Your way. And Your way is that we would simply be faithful to labor as You have called us. Lord, may that truth sink deep into our hearts, and may by Your Spirit You convict us and direct us and give us the strength to be faithful in laboring for You. Lord, give us eyes to see the truth that as long as we are faithful, and sometimes we may plant, sometimes we may watch, but in the end, Lord, You will still give the increase. And we can grow Your way. Lord, help us as we go from this place to endeavor to cast the kind of shadow that we want to cast. One that heals. One that brings hope. One that brings salvation. Lord, may Your power work through us as a church. May You empower us individually to live as those redeemed. To live as those empowered by Your grace. To be stewards of the gospel, Lord. May we take it out into the streets, into our communities, and may we see lives and families and communities transformed by the power of the gospel because we're faithful enough to labor for You. Lord, we want to lift You up. Help us to lift up Jesus. For Your name's sake, Lord, for Your glory, we pray.